Today on Older and Wiser.
If you could eat only one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be? We've got the survey results.
Would you rather work for a man or a woman? We'll tell you what most people say, plus where the crowds will be shopping this holiday season.
Also, would anybody actually buy a haunted house? You'd be surprised.
I won't. You're listening to Older and Wiser. I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora in the San Francisco suburbs. And as always, we're looking through recent public opinion surveys, including this one that reveals the food most people feel they could eat every day for the rest of their lives. Susan, what would you choose?
Well, geez, it has to be only one thing.
One thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know the survey. I do know the survey said pizza.
Pizza.
And I probably could do that because I'd want to know, well, what's on the pizza?
Right.
Because
if you could do a veggie, a veggie pizza would kind of do it, right? Because you could have peppers and you could have onions and you could. I would just pile it full of tomatoes and everything.
Yeah, I would. Or there's a really great pizza that I go for, and it's clam and roasted garlic.
Mm.
Except I don't think I'd want roasted garlic every day. Yeah, it'd be a little rough on the tummy, I like pizza. Yeah,
it would be hard to come up with any food that you could literally eat every single day. I mean, I you'd be so sick of just about anything, right?
Well, I don't know. Pasta. I could eat pasta because, of course, with pasta, you could put other things in it. Again, like pizza, you know, you could put veggies in. You could put meat or sauce or whatever. But I don't know. It's hard to just – it's such a commitment.
Well, on this survey, which we have to admit was done by California Pizza Kitchen, other people wanted to eat every day mac and cheese, steak,
no.
Bacon – I'm almost like, okay, you're trying to kill yourself, right? You just want to end it.
Mm-hmm.
How could you?
All right, wait a minute. There was another one there and said even more shocking was coffee. Now, time out. Coffee is not one food. Coffee is is the nectar of the gods you need to get through the day.
Scientists have actually, discussed and explored this topic over the years. What if you could literally eat one food, what would you eat? And like bananas or something that could literally keep you alive. Avocados, some have suggested.
Yeah, I was going to say avocados. I think what they should do is they should say, what fruit would you eat or what vegetable would you eat if you had to do that? I think it's too hard to just pick one food.
I mean,
if you're picking one food, you're probably someplace, where that's the only thing you can get.
Scientists have suggested that it might be possible to live for a while at least. If you could only eat potatoes, because it's got a carbohydrate to it, it's protein, it has some vitamins, fiber.
I could live with that. You know what? Can I do the form as potato chips?
No,
then I don't have to cook.
I have a feeling that would ruin it. Yeah, that would ruin it.
I don't know.
No, literally, if you were on a desert island and you had one thing, your goal besides pleasuring your palate would be to not die, right? You obviously, if you ate bacon every day, or even if you ate a cheese pizza every day, you could probably survive for what, a month or 2 months before get constipated. Imagine all that cheese. All that cheese would just.
That's why I said get the vegetables on top of that pizza.
What if you could select one cuisine that you had to eat for the rest of your life? In other words, Italian, Chinese, Japanese, Mediterranean. What would you?
Well, I'd be between Italian and Japanese, and the Japanese mostly sushi, which of course I could live on sushi if somebody were, making it for me and putting it all together. It's labor intensive.
Oh, we would include a chef with this thing.
Okay, now we're no longer stranded on, one food.
You're stranded in a sushi bar for the rest of your life. All right, let's move on to our next survey, which reveals that most people will shop online this holiday season. And to me, that's no big surprise because that online shopping is really the miracle of our generation as far as
easy.
I can see. This survey was done by Accenture Holiday Shopping Survey. And it says that more than half of respondents said they are less likely to shop on Black Friday this year as well.
I never go out on Black Friday.
Me neither.
I can't stand the crowds. I can't stand the, you know, pushing out of the way to grab the thing. I mean, are you kidding me? No.
But let's say you got to buy gifts for people. Do you feel like you're going to get a good deal at a Black Friday sale? Or do you think you could do just as well on Amazon?
Probably I could do just as well on something online because they're all getting competitive now. They figured it out.
44%, I think, of those surveyed here said they were able to find equally, if not better, deals and discounts any other day of the year on Amazon than they were able to find, or online somewhere, than they were able to find on Black Friday.
You also have to factor something else in. One year when I was shopping and doing gifts and everything, and my finances were better and there were more people to shop, all that stuff. And I did it all with QVC. And the reason I did it was because even though it might have been a little bit more, they'd send it right to the person. They included the note. They did the wrapping if I wanted it.
Oh, you want all that, yeah.
It was all done.
Yeah, Amazon does that as well. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, and they all do it now. That's what I'm saying. So they've all gotten smart about it.
As part of this survey, they ask people, would you opt for drone delivery if it were available? 33% of people in the U.S. said, yeah, I kind of like that idea. Let a drone bring my packages to me rather than have it delivered on a truck. What do you think about a drone bringing your stuff
to you? It could work. It's just I don't want to, you know, I don't want the drone to hit trees and stuff like that when I'm out driving either. I mean, they've got to be safe. You've got to have, you've got to be drone friendly in the air and in the space you're going to send it through.
Seemed like it would call a lot of attention to your package delivery, right? It'd be like, hey, everybody, take a look. Somebody, Susan's getting a package. Let's all run out and watch the drone deliver it.
Let me tell you something. If somebody has nothing else to do, sit in their house and watch what's being delivered to my front door.
Maybe the novelty. Once the novelty wears off and there's drones everywhere. First of all, drones are not completely silent. In fact, drones are rather noisy. Okay. And I think it would really bug me to have people getting their deliveries from these little buzzing drones that is buzzing around the neighborhood. I just don't love it. I don't like the cameras on the drones. I don't like the privacy invasion. I'm not in favor of drone delivery. And I also think there's a safety issue that no one has really explored because we don't have enough drones yet, but there's going to be mid-air collisions. There's going to be batteries that run down and the thing falls out of the sky and causes a car accident. There's just a gazillion problems with these mechanical devices buzzing around in the sky.
And they got to work out the details to this because if I order a vase, I wouldn't, but if I did, and it was being delivered by drone and it hits another drone on the way here, who pays for the vase?
Got a broken vase.
You know, do I have to buy insurance now for the drone? Forget it.
It's funny. It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Atlanta is one of the cities that is most interested in drone delivery. I don't know why. So for some reason, of all the people they asked, the people in Atlanta thought, bring it to me in a drone.
I do have a cousin who lives in that area, and he was just talking to me the other day about the traffic and how bad it is there.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe people are like, I don't want to drive anywhere. Yeah. Finally, as part of this survey, they ask people, do they check Amazon before they buy something in a store? So in other words, if you go out shopping and you see something you want to buy, do you say, I should check the price on Amazon first? Surprisingly, 84%, that's a lot of people, say they actually check Amazon.com for their prices first before they pick up something major in a retail store.
It depends on what I'm buying.
That says
a
lot for the
towel, and I can get it on sale, and it's at Kohl's, and it's the one I like. I'm going there, getting the towel, putting it in a home.
But if you're buying
a
flat screen TV at Best Buy,
that's different.
Yeah,
that's different.
You're gonna check it out.
And I wouldn't just be Amazon. It might be Amazon. It might be Costco. It might be a sale at another store. I mean, I would check a couple of places if I was going to drop that kind of money on an item. But if it's a small item, you know, it's your time costs too. You know, I mean, how much time do you want to spend shopping and now researching shopping?
All right, let's move on to our next topic. Here's the headline: many still prefer to work with men over women. in the workplace. That's what the survey reveals. You've had a number of different bosses in your life and in your career. Are women better or are men better at being managers?
I've had women that were not great, not the people that would watch out for your back. And I had people, I had a woman boss who was really a mentor for me. Yeah. So, I mean, I've had a variety. And I've had men who were idiots, frankly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've had men who were terrific. So, you know, what can I tell you? I mean, I think it depends on the person. But I will say this, and I've had a theory about this for a while. A lot of the women who have been in charge up until now, and I am generalizing big time here, so let me get that out.
Understood. I'm going to generalize a little as well, so go ahead.
Okay. I think women who have gotten to the top and been in charge up until this point, who are now maybe older and wiser, or maybe older and not so wise, have been aggressive enough and had to be aggressive enough. It's almost like we're birds out there over
plums.
Yeah,
to get to the point.
Move out of the way. Don't get in my way. I worked hard to get this. So if I have to step on your toes in order to get ahead more so, or not protect you, and you're a woman, too bad. Do your own thing.
My perception was, and again, generalizing, in earlier years, I think it's evened out a lot in more recent years. But in earlier years, my perception was that women, first of all, women, I think, work harder than men. They they just crank it up, more. Yeah. I think in the earlier years, my perception was that they tried harder because it was harder for them to be accepted. I find that women are more collaborative. And they're fairer. There's more of a sense of fairness with women than with men.
Yeah.
And honestly, I've had some men bosses that were total jerks.
Geez, that is not even surprising. I was just going to say, maybe we should just say at the end of the survey is that all bosses suck.
It's hard to be a boss.
The other day, I was watching an old movie. I've seen it before. I love it because it's Diane Keaton. I love anything she's in, mostly. And I watched Baby Boom again. And this
that's
is
a great
she's
movie.
She's the career woman, and she inherits a cousin's kid from England.
It's interesting that you mentioned Baby Boom because it kind of illustrates my point of how women kind of had to man up and act tough. You know, she could go to the ladies' room and cry, but then she'd have to come out and she'd have to get back into the board meeting and put on that role, you know, that man role to be aggressive and assertive. And so in a way, women had to come up through the management ranks sort of emulating men, trying to be like men and do it the way men did it, which was it's a hard road to navigate, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there was a whole book, I think, on dressing for success. I think that's what it was called.
Yeah.
And they told women, you know, you've got to wear a suit with a skirt
dress like a man, right?
But I mean, a jacket. It was the whole thing was the jacket. Yeah. And you've seen that, you know.
Everywhere, the power jacket with the big shoulders. Remember that?
Right. Oh, my gosh.
And the big shoulders gave female executives kind of a more powerful look, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah. And who told the men they had to change the way they dressed?
Nobody. We've worn the same thing since the 60s. We've got one more thing to talk about today. This is a survey from Realtor.com. Here's the headline. Would you purchase a haunted house? New survey finds some are willing. Now, like, I don't know.
Haunted.
I've never lived in a haunted house. I don't know whether I would like it or not, but I'm not that afraid of it. What do you think?
I sold a house last year and
Was it haunted?
No, but I think one of the questions somewhere in the paperwork early on was, you know, did anybody ever die in this house?
Not
that I know of, you know.
If you've got a house that's more than, 50 years old, somebody probably died in it at one point or another. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know.
According to this survey of 1,000 people, over 30% said they are open to living in a haunted house. 25% said they might be. And 42% said, nope, not going to do it. So
not gonna do it. Well, you know, I think it depends on where you live. In California, if you can get a deal on a house, you know, they're great.
You better take it while you can, right?
I mean, what's the deal and what do I get and what do I have to do to it? You know, that somebody says,
okay,
there was
so
a ghost.
What defines a haunted house? I mean, do you literally have to see apparitions in a hallway, or could it just be mysterious things happening?
I think people will probably say, oh, the door closed by itself. Or, I mean, if it was something really strange.
And is this something a real estate agent has to reveal even? I mean, how can a real estate agent verify and, you know, document the fact that the house that they're selling is legitimately haunted? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. And I don't know if you can do that.
No, that's what I mean. I mean,
if there's rumors going around about the house and there's not a lot of people looking at it because of that, people could be superstitious. And therefore, you know, I mean, that leaves the playing field open for somebody wants to make a deal.
I mean, rumors are one thing. It's one thing if people said, oh, I think that house is haunted. But for a realtor to sell a house, they don't have to disclose the fact that there are rumors about it, do they?
I guess not. I mean, I think people can find out so much of this stuff now because of, you know, technology and, you know, I mean, you can do the research for the property more than likely, or talk to people if you're in the community and you're looking at a house that's in your community, you'd know about it maybe. But I don't know how you document this.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Not that I know of, but the ghost might have seen me.
I thought I saw a ghost once.
Really?
Yeah, I was on a cruise ship to Alaska, which, as you know, those cruise ships to Alaska are often traveled by old people, a lot of old people. And the story is
more than one thing for the rest of their lives.
The publicist for Princess Cruises told me that they always come back with some dead bodies in the cooler down the basement because people die. The old people get on the cruise ship, they die, they're taken to the freezer, and they're put in the freezer until they get back to port, back where they started. So anyway,
so what's your point?
I'm in my room, and it's I've sort of drifted off to sleep, but I hear a noise. So I sit up in bed, and I see an old guy standing at the desk, looking in the mirror, and I say, excuse me, because I'm sure he just wandered into the wrong room. He's wearing a fishing cap.
Well, that could be. Did he look ghosty?
No, he just looked like an old guy with a fishing cap, looking into the mirror. So I reach up and I find a little switch and I turn the switch on. And just as the room is lit, he disappears from the bottom up, just goes.
And you know you were awake. You weren't dreaming.
I don't know. That's my ghost story. I'm sticking to it. But I do think that maybe I did not actually see a ghost, but in fact, it was a dream of some sort.
Well, you ought to go find that guy. And if he's not alive, you should go by his house.
All right. Time to get out of here. We're glad you joined us today. For the links to the surveys we've discussed, visit our website and click on the surveys tab.
And of course, as always, you can find all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus at olderandwiser.com. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next time.